Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast. I hope you are good. Thank you to my lovely sponsor, Golding Accountancy, who is the best accountant in the world. We are golding.com. And I don't just say that because he pays me. They pay me. It's not just one person.
Work.
This chair is so creaky. I need to get a new chair.
Work.
This week, I got to talk to the absolutely amazing Jodie Keegans. I first heard Jodie on Stuart Roberts' podcast, Haircuts for Homeless, and I couldn't believe her story of the domestic abuse that she suffered. Her husband got 18 years in prison for what he got convicted of doing to her, not for... I mean, I don't think he'd ever come out if he'd got convicted for everything that he did to her, but... that will give you some kind of idea of the enormity of what she went through. But the thing that really struck a chord with me was after he was put in prison, the amount that she still suffered and is suffering due to the financial abuse that he caused her and the fact that there wasn't really any help for her after she'd been through all that, her and her children, they were made homeless. You know, and I felt the need to speak to her and try and understand what had happened and what needs to be done to help these poor women who go through these terrible things, and then when their abuser gets put in prison, they're still suffering, which is just unforgivable. This podcast is in two parts. I was talking to her for like 2.5 hours, but I just wanted for her to talk because her story, what she's been through, I just wanted to listen to her tell me and give her the space to talk. So, and I haven't edited it much, because I feel that she needs to be heard and everyone needs to listen to what she's been through, because people need to be aware of what, you know, these poor victims suffer, and you know, things need to change. So I wanted to give her that space and this platform, and it is obviously, it's upsetting, but it's not, she's a very upbeat person and she kind of just talks about things very matter-of-factly, so it's not, obviously there's things in there that are really hard to listen to, but it's not an uncomfortable listen. It's a chat, so I hope that it's not too hard for you, and please don't be put off. I think it's important, but don't let your kids listen. So yes, but if you do want to talk about anything that's raised, then please get in touch, and I'll see you on the other side.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Work. Work.
Brilliant. Well, I'm joined by the wonderful Jodie Keegans.
Hello, you're right.
Not Keegans, but we'll, yeah, that's the name we're using so everyone can look at you. But yeah, so tattoos, we were just talking about your tattoos before we started recording. So did you get them done after everything was kind of...
Yeah, I did actually, because kind of wanted to re-identify myself as well.
Yes,
so
yeah.
That was kind of a thing. So yeah, I've got quite a lot going off. And so I've had all this like sleeve done. There's all sorts going off on here. This one is for my sister who died, Kelly. So she died of cancer. She was I wasn't allowed to go to her funeral as well. So, but that's I can tell you that down the line. But we both love Pink. Absolutely love the singer Pink. And literally. Just like Fire, the song had come out when my sister died.
Yeah.
So that was my song for my sister. So I went to see her at Pink in concert at Glasgow at Hampden Park, and I'll cry my eyes out when Pink when that song came on, and What About Us as well. I was like, mess. So I had that the chorus put on, and then I've got all rainbow roses round as well, because my sister was gay. So that's my sister. I've got ones for my children and my dad. Lipstick with the Belladonna, the Deadly Nightshade, which is poison, which a lot of people used to use to kill abusive men back in the day. So that's the reason behind that one. I've got a poison bottle.
How much have you got in your shed?
I know. I know. I was like Googling it. I was like, oh, this stuff's good. And then like a lace bat. I've got a haunted house because I like spooky, weird stuff. Oh, yeah, I've got my skull rose thingy. Bats. And then I've got bird cage on my leg, and then a lady with a skull, half skull, half lady. So
yeah.
Half a beautiful lady, half a skull's face. So, yeah.
I really like them.
I do.
Really
like them. And it was something of a way of like kind of reinventing myself, because I've always wanted them. And also another reason is that my ex-husband liked tattoos, and he was not happy with his. So I got a full sleeve before you, and I've got two.
Yeah.
So that's a big screw you to him. Because I like to do things which he can't do.
Yeah.
So we're like, nice coffee. I'm like, yeah, you're just having crap Maxwell House while I'm having nice Carton Up, or I'm going to like Costa or somewhere posh. So it's a simple little thing, but it's little simple things that makes you happy.
Well, I think after what you've been through, you deserve all the happiness in the world.
Oh, thank you.
So I just a little introduction. I had the lovely Stuart Roberts on my podcast.
Oh, yes, nice. It's a legend.
Yeah,
it's great.
But also, you were a guest on his podcast.
Yes.
And he recommended that I listen to it.
Okay.
And I listened to it, and I honestly couldn't believe your story. But there were things that came up in it that I felt that I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
Because obviously, happened to you was absolutely horrific, but it was more what happened after. I mean, you'll go into it, but it was, and I'll talk about that as we go. But if you want to tell us... If you want to start,
I will first do my whole one graphic content, because it's a fucked up story.
And just we've got as long as you take.
Okay.
By the way,
oh god, yeah.
As long as
so. Just kick me off, just boot me off, because I can. Because that's one of the things I never used to talk, and now like when I was in my relationship, I was really like bubbly and talkative, and that stopped. I just hardly used to speak to anybody, and never used to look at the floor. Now you can't shut me up, so.
Yeah.
So like there is some really graphic, horrible content. It's not, easy listening. It's kind of like a horror film.
Yeah.
One of the things I do say is that I'm very quite lighthearted about the situation because it's a fucked up situation and it's a way of dealing with it. So I'd rather... It's bloody awful. But I'd rather be as positive... I always took when it all happened that turn any negative into a positive.
Yeah.
So I have to because otherwise I'll be just like even more loonier. So I have to kind of... I mean, don't get me wrong, there is some really funny stuff in the whole, even though it was all going off, there were some situations where you're like, if anybody, like, thought that, like, if you said it to anyone, everyone would be like, yeah, you're lying. And it's like, no, it's true. Do you know, there's some really, really weird, funny stuff. So it's not like I look at domestic abuse and, like, laugh at it, because it's really not, but it's a fact that how I deal with it, and that's how people have different coping mechanisms. And that's how I deal with it, because tragically you just end up rocking in corner and I'd just rather I went bankrupt, I've got no money, you know. And also I have PTSD. Apparently I have severe PTSD now and I have severe anxiety as well. So I keep going into...
How does that come out?
Well, I end up... Well, basically, the kind of thought that something would be up with me. And have to have, like, mental health. I've been, like, free lots of, you know, like, mental health input, because you can't have any mental health input while the trial's going on, because then you can't be a witness in court.
Really?
Yeah. So, literally, I, like, had all this, like, madness stuff happen, and it wasn't until the September that I could, after court. So I was booked in... And then literally it was after court, literally like a week after, they had me all ready to go into some sort of therapy, CBT.
Yeah.
So I had that. But then I've been like three times now in therapy.
Yeah.
they're like kind of, you have like a survey thing and they'll ask you, you know, different things. So I have like triggers. Certain things.
Yeah.
So for me, there's a few which I have. I find them every day sometimes. Every so often I find a new one. I found a new one the other day. And it can be everyday things. So my triggers are, I have rolling pins, which will be explained.
Yeah.
So join watching Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. She's just like...
Yeah.
The song Human by Rag & Bone Man. Hate it. Can't cope with that one.
Yeah.
And it's on Tia Maria advert as well at Christmas. It's not. That's on Gillette. So when Rag & Bone Man's doing all this stuff, shouting out, then I have to like go out room. And then there was another one. I can't remember what the band's called, but it was a song. It's just called Sail, the song. And that was on Tia Maria advert. I didn't like that. That was around Christmas time. I've got navy blue hoodies. Don't like people with navy blue hoodies, and if I've got the hood up, especially if I've got a beard. What else don't I like? I just freak out. Yeah, don't like it.
So do you have like an anxiety attack?
Yeah, black Mercedes cars like as well. Yeah, I just don't like it. And so it's like if I'm driving and there's a black Mercedes C220, because that's what my ex-husband drove, and if a person's face is there, it'll change to his. And then I'm like, so you've got to do like all these exercises. So it's like with a rolling pin, I had to watch your exposure therapy. So I had to literally watch rolling pin videos for hours and hours and hours and hours. So you understand that this is an implement for making cakes and stuff and pastries, not for a murder weapon.
Yeah.
So like if you're in like Tesco or something, there's like the rolling pin there, you're just like, so you've just kind of got to deal with it. And then and then my daughter, she's got them as well. She doesn't like Rag & Bone Man, you know, Human, so I turn it off if it's on radio and car. And then the other one is she doesn't like the song Band-Aid. Do you know Christmas? I only found this out a few Band-Aid, do they know it's Christmas time, there's nothing to be afraid, and then it's got some banging in background. She don't like it because of the first start of the words. It's Christmas time, there's nothing to be afraid. And when the final incident, like assaults happened, that was Christmas. So that's why she's like, well, there is something to be afraid of at Christmas. That one. So, like, she was reacting really bad to that. So, literally, the score was really good and we just took it out at, you know, Carol concert. So that's one. Yeah, so we're just like, yeah, it's... And so now you just kind of deal with it, and then you can have it where you're really paranoid about stuff as well, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really honest, you know, about like my mental health and stuff. I mean, I had it where I've had to go back into therapy. It was last July when I started feeling like I was losing plot. And that was completely different because I felt like I was worried about dying because I'm on my own with the three children. Yeah. And and it was almost like the best way I can describe it is if anyone's watched the Final Destination films and you see yourself dying and then you're trying to stop yourself from dying, it was like that. So if it was trying to give me a B, do you feel suicidal? I'm like, nah, far from it. I don't want to jump off a bridge. Yeah. Jesus, I want to be in like bubble wrap because it's only me for the kids. So I had that issue. I mean, if anybody's like driving really fast behind me, I'm like, I'm going to be in a car accident. I'm going to die. So so that's what that is. And then like, it's just different situations. So you just kind of learned, you know, to cope with it as much as hard it is. Yeah. And then you can have really bad nightmares. The worst bit is when you have flashbacks. And you can have, it's like literally a full-on reel of whatever happens. And do you know like when you ever watch films and they have like a sequence where it goes back in time and you can see like a bit like you can see, oh, I mean, the best way of describing it is, do you remember the Britney Spears video, Lucky, where she's, like, looking at herself as, like, her...
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's like that. And you can see full-on situations, and especially, like, when I was at the old house, where, or, like, Murderville, where everything happened, I was having to, like, clean up that house and, you know, get rid of everything. And I remember going into the bathroom and I saw my ex-husband in the bath. And I was like, is it the bath? Is it the bath? And they're like, he's not, he's in jail. And it's like, no, he's in the bath. And it was that, we were triggering it. And even something like dropping on the floor. So I remember like a bread bun, like bread bun, balm, whatever you call it from different parts of the country, fell on the floor. And then I had a full on flashback of how my arm got broken over a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mad. So it is, it's really one of those. Well, I don't believe it's going to go... It's all very interesting.
And that's the thing that struck me, was when I listened to your story, it's not just the awful things that happened to you, and he got... Thank fucking hell, I did actually get put away for it, but it's everything that comes after. It's dealing with it afterwards.
Mm.
You, your kids, and financially, that done me, because obviously you will talk about it, but it's... It's everything that comes after. It's not just like, oh, well, he's in prison now, so that's it. It's all over.
No, it's far from over.
It's
a pain.
And that's what done me.
Yeah, it's a pain in bloody arse. It's, I mean, like, so me and my ex-husband met. One of the things I try not to do is say his name. People don't really sort of know.
Fine.
No, there's a reason behind it. Because I always think that, so like when I do guest speaking or what have you, I just refer to him as my ex-husband or dickhead.
Yeah.
And coward, it's another one. Because I always find that people, like, so when you think of like murderers, famous murderers and stuff like that, you always remember their names, but you never remember the victims.
Yes.
And that was why I did it. And then I was just like, this isn't fair. Like, you think of, like, Manson or Dahmer or anyone. You remember Dahmer, but you don't remember the victims. So I was like, I don't want him to be remembered. I want people to remember me, you know, because he's just a piece of shit in prison. So that's why I do that. But, yeah, so we met in 2004. Absolute gentleman. It was absolutely really nice person. Basically, we was I was at a nightclub, a pub, and my friend had got really drunk, bless her, and he was looking after her. So I nipped to the toilet, come back, found Joe, found him, and he was just like this knight in shining armor, like, oh, I'm so glad that, you know, I found your friend. You're She's really drunk. And I was like, yeah, don't worry, I'll try and sort a taxi out, what have you. And then he's just like completely, you know, nice person, you know, being his whole Prince Charming and what have you. And we got talking about films because I like films. And then we just got on we got on really well because we just only had that in common with films. So we were just talking. Yeah. And then we ended up just getting a taxi back to my house and then dropped me off and then dropped him off because he lived, like, the next village along. And then he's like, got my number and what have you. So then we end up going on a date the next day. And all this, he was an absolute Prince Charming, you know. And then he started to say, do you know, he had a bad life, what have you, which he did. He had a shit childhood given.
Yeah.
And so it started there. And then it started, so I was working full time at the time. And in a selling hair beauty supplies. And it was constant. Like, literally, we saw each other all the time. Literally, I was at work. And then as soon as I finished there, we saw each other. So we were literally inseparable. Yeah. He literally, I think we met him in June, about June 4th. And then he kind of, like, next month or so, because I was at my mum and my dad's, he, like, moved into my mum and my dad's.
Yeah.
Because he was having issues at home. So, but moved in. So
how old were you?
I was 22.
22?
Yeah, I was
and
22.
And he was around the same age?
He was younger. He was 20. Just turned... Yeah. So he was just like, yeah, just turned 20. And... Because if he was 19, I'd be like, oh, no. But because he's 20, it sounds like an older person, so it's not too bad. I was like... So... yeah, so we met, and then we just got on, you know, and he was always really great, and that then I fell pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And then had miscarriage. But we started buying a house, and then we said, well, whatever happens, we'll carry on buying this house. So we bought the house, and then I got pregnant again, and with my eldest son. Yeah. And then what ended up... So everything was okay, you know, down those lines. But when I look back on it, he started isolating me from friends. So what they do is they stop... One of the first things they can tend to do is isolate you, stop you seeing from friends, friends. So we'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, do you know, it made, you know... So you've seen each other constantly, but then you don't make time for your friends. So...
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was one of the things that when I look back, I never knew it at the time, but, yeah, that was the first thing that he did was
isolate... Did he used to dig them out?
What?
Did he slag off your mates?
Yeah, I've never heard that, dig them out.
Dig them out?
Yeah, I was just like, what, from graves? That's the difference, because I'm from Yorkshire, from Doncaster. Yeah. I was like, dig them out. I was like, what, grave robbing?
What?
Grave robbing. Dodgy up here. So, yeah, and he would be like, oh, you shouldn't like be friends with those people because, see, you don't look great. And it's like, oh, okay. And then just started doing little things like that. And also because I spent so much time with him, I didn't really get a chance to see my mates. So as jokes to take up so much time. So that kind of happened. And then it was 2009... I had my other son, so I had another miscarriage. So I've actually had three miscarriages. So I ended up having one, lose one, have one, lose one. So lost another baby and then had my youngest son. So that was 2009.
Yeah.
And then, so that happened. So everything was sort of, it really started, so, I mean, we were married, we was married from, we were together from 2004, and until 2017. So I take the day that I nearly died to his arrest as ending. Do you know that's it? Yeah. Do you know? So we had son, and it was and my daughter as well. So my daughter was born in 2012. Yes. So I had her, and so I was always at work, you know, he would look after the children, he was working, but the company had gone under, so he ended up just looking after the children while I was working all the time. And he'd do stuff like that, he'd like ring up when I was at work, and like, what I know, do you know where I am, do you know, and he'd just turn up, do you know, at work, and then different things like that. Which I didn't, you know, I found out, like, years later that it was, like, ringing up. I mean, we used to get, like, pervy phone calls and stuff like that, and it was him winding people up. I know, and it's like, yeah. And all sorts of different stuff. I mean, like, when you go after, when you look back at stuff and you think, I question a lot of stuff, I really do. And and I don't, I'm not interested anymore. I just think, well, sod it, you know, I'm not bothered. So... we ended up and then be a he was it got to 2000 and where am I 15 2015 towards the end of 2015 he started being really weird and, you know, being a lot more aggressive. And yeah. At that point...
So you're 10 years into the
relationship. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is
so
not a slow
like
burn.
No,
this is it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
What comes out is that even a man was like slow burner, you know, a long time. You can have other people who's been in a relationship 6 months or less and they come out with the same result as me. So it doesn't matter. So yeah. It's almost like, and because of controlling and different stuff, it's almost like carbon monoxide poison. It slowly kills you and you don't realise. Yeah. So it's like that. Yeah. So they can do it. So that's the thing. It can happen really fast or staggered like mine.
Yeah.
But you always end up coming out with the same result. You're fucked up. It's a fucked up situation.
So you said he started going weird.
He got really aggressive. And, you know, like, I remember, like, he was really...
Towards you, or in general?
A little bit towards me, but, like, generally different people as well. So, like, he'd be, like, in town and he'd kick off. I mean, he was always quite a short cannon anyway. But it aggressed really, really bad. And he used to, like, smoke a lot of weed as well. So that does not help in the slightest.
Yeah.
But it was happening even more. And it, like, it was almost like he was having a complete, utter... meltdown, battling against this different person. I don't know, it's really weird. Yeah. I still think he's a dick. And then you start thinking, right, so then it was 2016, and at that point, I was having some work-related stress at work, and it was a really stressful job that I was in. And I ended up going off work for work-related stress, depression, anxiety, because it was getting really bad. This was working in retail, actually. And then that was it. I did not work then, because it was just like, right, you're not at work. He found that extra bit of control as well, you know, because I was off sick. And then I never went back to that job, which I had done for something like 15 years or something stupid. Yeah, about 15 years. And... because I'd been working there a lot longer before I met him. And so it got to... So 2016 was really... That was the first time that he actually assaulted me, physically hit me. And I was just like, whoa. You know, I think he was in the kitchen. I don't know what it was over. And it just, like, lost it. And I was just like, God, you know, wow. And, like, it hit me. I can't even remember what it was about. It could be over stupid stuff. Like, if I hadn't made his coffee a certain way... Or if he didn't, because he had this really strange thing, the coffee had to be made a certain way. It had to be cartonal. It had to be, and I was, like, integrated into making the perfect coffee. And if it wasn't right, he'd, like, smash it up against the wall. So the coffee had to be a certain cup, this grey mug. It had to be a certain spoon. The coffee had to be cartonal coffee. It had to be, like, a level 8 teaspoon. The angle of this spoon had to be, like, an angle. Then the milk filled up to the neck of the spoon, and then like you can't have two. Then like a level table, a teaspoon of two sugars, and then the water had to be like a certain temperature. Like had to be just boiled. You couldn't have it like too slight, too thingy. Or and then it just if it wasn't like that, then he'd just lose his shit and just like smash it. So. That was over coffee, so apparently I'm really good at making coffee now. And it's like, well, strangely enough, it's because I had it, like, integrated into me how to make this coffee.
Yeah.
So that's why I find it funny that I drink cartonal and he don't, because he's having Maxwell House. Because that coffee is really crap in prison. And you have prison-grade tea bags.
Yeah,
but he doesn't drink tea. So that's what I had. And also, anything like... cheese being like bolognese, if you're making bolognese, he didn't want the cheese melted on it. Do you know, if it got hot, the cheese had to still be, you know, unrealistic stuff. I used to I used to love baking, and then like where it got to a point where when people would come, like if people come round, then they'd be like, oh, I love your baking. It stopped me from baking because people was giving me compliments on my baking. That's why I like baking now, it's good. And all sorts of different things like that. It was madness. I mean, all sorts. And then it got to a point where if you were driving, if somebody gave way to you, do you know, like how you like you're driving down the street and somebody gave way to you, it'd be like, oh, what have you been doing with them? Well, just giving way to me, do you know, just waved.
Wow.
I was looking at you. And it's like, no, he's just been like, I've just let him by, do you know, that's it, do you know. And then
so
it got
completely paranoid.
Oh yeah, completely everything. Everything got really, really bad. Paranoid, and it was just madness.
So what happened after he? So after he first time he assaulted you?
Yeah.
What? How did you feel? Were you like?
Sure.
I suppose when you've been with someone so long, you kind of like that's out of character.
Yeah, I was just
like, it's not
like
you just met him.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Like, fucking hell, that's really bad.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was almost like this character who I knew was this other character, because I knew that he was quite handy when he was younger. Do you know, he'd been involved in different stuff, but it was like this bad side had come out all the time, and it was almost like the side that he was before had been, do you know, sort of sedated. Do you know, he was on his best behaviour, but then he kept slipping. And then
was he very apologetic after?
Oh yeah, we have most weirdest conversations. Yeah, he'd even say, sometimes he would, but then sometimes, but a lot of the times he didn't. A lot of the times it was like, it's your fault, you made me do it, do you know?
But then
I remember one of the weirdest things. I went up, so one of the things that he'd always do is he always wanted to spend time in the kitchen. And he'd even give you homework to do at night, because he's like sleep deprived me. So that is really bad, sleep depriving. Because you can, like, then you've got to be up for kids and what have you, but you weren't allowed to sleep.
What did he give you to do?
Oh, it'd be homework. It'd be all sorts of... go look for something on the internet, you know? Because he'd be always into this, like, money-making, you know, scam or what have you. And it gave me stuff like trying to find a container to, you know... like a container or something, which had to be an open up one where you can put labels, just different stuff, do you know. Looking for kitchens even though we can't afford it, all sorts of random stuff. And then it'd be, and then like you'd be wanting to go to sleep and it'd be like, no you're not, you've got to find this, and all sorts of stupid stuff. Or we'd be just up talking. I remember one time.
Yeah.
He'd be like, "Oh, I can't sleep, so you can't sleep." I remember one time I was in the kitchen and he was talking, and God knows what he was on about, talking knowledge, well, crap. And I remember being stood there, and all of a sudden I could feel myself feeling really hot, and then feeling really cold, and my eyes rolled into the back of my head. And I fainted. First time I've, like, I know that I've ever fainted.
Yeah.
And I fainted, and I just apparently dropped, like, a sack of spuds, and then nearly hit my head on the washing machine. So he just made, basically, made sure, and he just, like, laid me down, and he just went, you nearly hit yourself on your head on the washing machine. Do you know, I saved you. I'm like, no, because I was trying to concentrate that much on, you know, talking about a load of old shit about all sorts, that my brain must have, like, fogged over and thought, I can't take all this, I'm shutting down. And it just, and I just literally collapsed. That happened. And then, I did also, it wouldn't let you go to the toilet. But, so if he was, like, if he was, like, in the room, because he was always in the kitchen. Kitchens are really one of the worst places for domestic abuse. There's also weapons in there, because there's knives and stuff.
Yeah,
but he used to shut the door, and he'd want, like, be in the kitchen. So kids would be in bed, but he'd be, like, the farther side of the house. So a lot of stuff happened in the kitchen. And he ended up... He'd say, look, I need to go to the toilet. No, you're not. I'm going to give you, you know, and then he'd be like, why have you not come out of the toilet? And it's like, well, because I'm trying to drag some time, you know, I don't have to listen to your crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this happened all sorts of different, I mean, there's that much stuff. Even now, I end up thinking, oh, God, yeah, that happened, you know, that happened, because it was that much different stuff.
So how, after the first incident then, how quickly did it escalate?
It got to the point daily,
like, constant.
Yeah, constant. Yeah, constantly. Do you know? I mean, like, it got, like, it literally 2016, it just went downhill. I mean, like, it was my friend's wedding who was, who I've known since I was a child. And he's like, don't be thinking you're going, I got a wedding invitation, you're not going to a wedding. He got very, very controlling. He got very controlling with his mum as well, as on top. So he's got this whole manipulation. He's a complete utter narcissist, completely.
Yeah.
He's like a sociopath as well. He's just everything. He's just an absolute nightmare. He loves control. He's a master. He manipulates and everything. He's an absolute nightmare. The control, the physical is horrible. The rapes are horrible. Everything's horrible. For me, what really screwed me up is the control. I don't like the coercive control part of it. That's the worst. That's what really gets you mentally, the mental torture. I have it where, so he'd tell you all sorts, like you're ugly, you know, look at state here, nobody wants you to talk, you just, you know, you probably, like, if I was on school run, he'd follow me on the school run. Like, he'd be going and doing the school run with the children, like, saying he'd take the eldest to high school. And then, like, the second, like, my two younger children was at primary. And he'd be, like, following you down the streets. Who was you talking to? I've just seen you talking to one at Mum's. And it's like, I was just talking to him. Do you know, they said hello. Do you know, I was just talking. And he got to a point where he's like, you're not allowed to talk to anybody at all. So he stopped me from seeing my mum and my dad as well, because I'm really close to my mum and my dad. My sister, she died in July 2016. I got to see her at hospital. He says, that's good enough for you. Do you know, you're not going to go to a funeral. So that's my only sister, so I couldn't go to a funeral. I did have, like, a party. Not a party, but, you know, let off balloons. Yeah. And, you know, like those lantern things, like those and that. And we was listening to Pink, so that's always something that me and my sister liked.
What did your family think about it and your friends?
Evidently they was at the funeral and they were just like, where's Jodie? And they were just like, don't know, do you know, we've not, do you know. And it started, you know, like, if I went towards the end, so it got to like 2017, for like a year I didn't see mum and my dad. And then it ended, so that was horrible. Then it ended up being that I did start seeing them, but I was timed. How long I could. So, literally, they live like a 10-minute drive from where I used to live. So, I'd have half an hour. That would be from my there to have a cup of tea. So, literally, I'm running, having a cup of tea, and I'm like, bye, see you, gotta go. To show, you know, that you're there, you're not dead, you know. That happened. But everything were timed. And then he'd be, like, on phone, like, monitoring, like, how long are you going to be? You need to come back, do you know, how long are you going to be? I've been literally half an hour, do you know.
So
it was constantly things like that. That was an absolute nightmare.
What did the kids think about? Did they notice?
You normalise it.
He changed.
Yeah, no, you kind of got... And it's like... it's like Christmas. I don't particularly like Christmas. I've got better with it now, but... it was like he lost his shit over, you know, because the kids had just woken up. And we got some bikes, and then they didn't touch a bike, do you know, quick enough, and he lost it and started shouting at the kids because he didn't touch a bike quick enough and get too excited, but they'd just woken up. And he'd always push him to do stuff that they didn't want to do, do you know, as in, like, if it felt like electric scooters and stuff like that. So if it felt uncomfortable, then he'd call them all sorts. I mean, like, my youngest son, he had a thing where he'd always call him stupid and thick, and it got to a point where he was that scared, you know, because you was always trying to make you. I'd always try and say, look, don't upset your dad. His anxiety, and I always said, but he's got anxiety, you know. Is you know, that's why making excuses. You make so many excuses for him. It's untrue, and that's how you live. You make excuses after excuses constantly to the point where you get very good at it, and then, like, when I come down to my mum's stuff, I remember having on my face, it was really, a big, like, golf ball. It was actually probably like a dislocated jaw or what have you. And it was like a big golf ball. And I was just like, oh, it's a mouth ulcer, do you know? And then, like, I had another one on there. So it's like, oh, it was a mouth ulcer. And it with things like that, you know, and you just,
yeah.
you just get it, you, it gets normalised. It's very, you know, because you're in it for so long. You've, and I remember thinking that that's just a normal relationship. That's what I thought. And also what did not help as well, not that it's this anyone's fault, but like Eminem, do you know like the Eminem Rihanna song, Love the Way You Lie?
I don't know.
Well, basically, it's that's about like an abuse. Like he says something. It was basically it's them singing. You'll know it when you hear it. And on, it was on radio, and it's like where Eminem's like, it's because he's angry, and Joe, you know, she's angry or what have you. But it's just how they are, and it like kind of normalises that relationship. And I just thought, so I remember being in car thinking, oh well, it must be alright because Eminem thought it was stupid. Yeah. I look now and I think, wow, do you know, and. Also, like,
what happened when Chris Brown beat the shit out of?
Oh yeah, Rihanna.
It's like, and then she's fucking.
Yeah, I don't get.
He gets away with it, and she gets blamed for making a meal out of it.
This is it.
You know,
it's madness. Yeah. And you just end up thinking, wow, do you know, it's mad, and you just kind of not, and you just think, oh, it must be normal, do you know, and you do, and. It's because it's like in the media, it's portrayed. Not that it's their fault, because it's not. It doesn't help matters because I just thought, well, it must be like, it must be just one of those things. It must be just like our relationships, like Rihanna and Eminem's in the song. And you do, you normalise it. And this is why I kind of don't like, I do like teaching about domestic abuse in songs because there's so many where it's normalised and people can sing. It's like one which I'm going to ruin for you is, do you know Tom Jones' Delilah?
Yes.
Yeah, do you know that's about killing his missus? So they sing it at the rugby, Google the lyrics. And, so everyone's singing this song and it's like, Google the, watch like the lyric video on YouTube. And it is, he's like, I think it's something like, she screamed until she laughed no more or something. And then there's another one. Wow. So I'll ruin that one for you. And like the Animals song as well by Maroon 5, he's about stalking and that it's okay to stalk people. And quite strangely enough, on my video, I hate watching it because Adam Levine looks a bit like my ex-husband in it. And he's wearing like a white vest and stuff, do you know, like perpetrator uniform. And I don't like that. It just happens. But, so it was all normalised. And I just kind of thought, well, that's it, you know. It is, you know, this is just what my life is. This is normal. Yeah. This is what happens. And that's what I believed. That's what I generally thought. Yeah. And I never, I mean, now I know it's not. Now I know it's definitely not right. It's very, very, it's not acceptable behaviour. But at the time, I did. I just thought that was it.
Yeah.
And then,
so one thing I do want to ask you about is sleeping in the same room downstairs.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah,
he made us. Yeah, yeah.
How did that come about?
Oh, it's all very weird. It started off where, as a treat for kids, we'd have like watch a film, you know, get treats and stuff, that'd be like a weekend thing on a Saturday. So it started off as a nice sort of thing, which was good.
Yeah,
and then it got to the point where it was every day. And it was so, and I didn't know this at the time, I just thought it were, and he said that it's because my anxiety is bad. And I'm like, I want to know where you are. So I just thought, oh, well, if it helps his anxiety so he doesn't start, you know, shouting.
Yeah,
so every chuffing day we was having to, like, make, like, he'd be on settee. My daughter was really small at the time, so sometimes she'd be, you know, like, she'd sleep there. I'd have, like, the backs of, like, cushions, make me a makeshift bed. We'd have like a mattress that would bring down. So this happened every chuffing day, this. And
what did the kids think? Would they, I suppose
we just
think it
thought
like
it was
camping.
Normal, yeah. And like your phone, like if it moved a little bit, you know, it'd be like, you've been on the phone. And I'm like, no, no, I've been asleep, you know. And it's like the battery's gone down, you know, the phone's been moved a slightly different position. God. I wasn't on that screen, you know, when I was like, what, you were just like Googling crap in the middle of the night. So it was like a monitoring thing.
Yeah.
Monitoring where he was. I remember one day I couldn't sleep. I went upstairs into the bedroom where you're supposed to sleep in a bedroom. It's not like I haven't got beds. I've got a nice bed, you know, and bedroom all done out and everything, you know. But no, not allowed. I remember sleeping and he went mad. Absolutely lost his shit because he woke up and I wasn't there. And he says that he needs to wake up and see where I am and where we are. So that started.
God.
So it's that, and but you just end up thinking it's all right, it's normal, but it's not. Yeah, it's really because they mess with your head so much. It really mentally, do you know, think it really screws you up. All sorts. I mean, God, he's done so much different stuff. It's untrue. But yeah, that happened. But when it just got worse and worse, and then I'd have bruises on me, I'd be walking funnily. So this was like between 2016 to 2017. It got really, really bad. So and you could hear him, you know, through like he'd be shouting. You can hear him because he's very, very loud when he shouts.
So what did the neighbours? Did the neighbours ever say anything or they, call the police?
He kind of threatened everyone. He threatened all neighbours, threatened all, you know, different ones. Yeah, I mean, like the next door, I had a multiple house occupancy, so there was always different people moving.
Right, okay.
My absolutely fantastic neighbours who lived to the other side of me, he threatened them, you know. They got to a point where they didn't know what to do, you know. They were scared. Other neighbours was as well. He tried stalking neighbours as well. He's a fucking dick. He was like, I had like five neighbours, which I know of, because I lived on like a Terry Street. Yeah. And he was like chatting them up. And like, he'd always ask for a lighter. At one bit, he'd be like, oh, have you got a lighter? And then he wouldn't get rid of them. It was a great opening, you know, to get some of that. Then, like, it got to a point where one of the girls who lived nearby, he was like texting, pretending to be me, and it was chuffing her, and it was him. Because she showed me all this stuff, and I was like, that's not me, I've not, you know. And he was sending some like questionable stuff. It was absolutely disgusting. I was like, you tosser. Loads of stuff come out, to a point where I'm just like, yeah. And he'd say that he slept with people and he hadn't. To make you feel, you know, it's all manipulation. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, I can have anybody I want. Because he thought it was God's gift. They literally do. I mean, like, narcissists, they just think they are the best. He's God's gift. I mean, like, I remember things like, he'd look at me and he's like, God, I'm so gorgeous. Do you know? I'm like, God, call me God. I call you a lot of things now because you're a dick. But, yeah, all sorts of stuff like that, really. I mean, he thought that everyone fancied him. He thought that one at school teachers fancied him. He was like, one of the games that he used to play in his head was, if we had to go into town, look how many times I get eyed up. How many times do I get eyed up in town? And that, well, I've been eyed up about 8 times. Oh, you haven't because you're disgusting. That was one. Then, like, if you're, like, well, I remember being at Smith's Toy Store and they were, like, he was, like, buying a balloon and they're, like, trying to do extras and she was, like, sort of bit talking to him. He's like, yeah, she fancied me, you know, because she was, like, trying to... And I was like, no, it's because she's trying to sell your balloon because she's going to get extra. Yeah, because you have, like, things that you have to sell, do you know, because I've worked in sales, So where you have to sell a certain amount, it's, like, add-on extras. So, yeah, because it's upselling. It's not that she thought she would fit. It's the fact that she was having to sell that balloon for hours. So that happened. It's madness. So all that happened. I mean, there's loads. It's stupid stuff. So, and this is why now, if somebody says that you're pretty, I can't cope with that. If someone tells me you're fit, you're stupid, you know, you're anything, oh yeah, I'll take that. That's fine. Yeah, I'll accept that. But if someone comes up and says, you're incredible, you're amazing, you know that? I'm just like, oh, I can't cope with that because I can't have a compliment because I'm not used to compliments. I'm used to, my brain won't take it. So, you're beautiful, do you know? I'm not, do you know? And I hide away. But no, so it happened a lot. I mean, it got to the point where when the final incidents happened, when it was really, really bad, was 2017. So this was like from September. So, this got every day something was happening. And, like, my daughter, who was 5 at the time, had been at school, and she told school that Daddy was hurting Mummy by the birdie wallpaper. And they were just like, yeah. Oh, shit. And in the wallpaper in the bedroom, there was birds on it. It was like bird cage, like vintage. Yeah.
Did they sense something might be going
on? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They yeah. saw bruises on me as well. And then me trying to walk, oh. And a broken leg.
And did you ever go to the hospital no, with your injuries?
No, I only went, I only went to hospital the day that Anila died. Yeah. When I should have died, should I say. But no, so it's like I've got a bend in my arm. So that, I've got a tattoo, so it covers. But yeah, that, I had broken arm. And do you know, this sounds really gross, but do you know the broken bone? It was bent, it was broken. So it snapped and it's mended funny. So it's all crooked now. But if I was like having to do shopping, do you know, I'd have to, it would bend. And because, and it, you could feel it breaking, you know, like bending even more.
Oh, my
Scary toe.
No, but it's, fine. Just...
it's gross, yeah. And it's like, even shopping, going to the supermarket was a pain in the arse as well. Because it'd be, it'd say, right, take a child with you. And then it'd be questioning the children, did mummy speak to anybody? The move see, I'd have to show my till receipt, what time I got checked out at. To say, so for the distance for coming back, you've been somewhere. No, I've not. I've been in Lidl.
Yeah.
There's a queue. We're in Lidl. It's, do you know what I mean? It's Saturday. He's busy.
Yeah.
Well, it's took you so and so long. Well, what's you doing? What was you doing in that car park? Bagging my stuff up, do you know? We had a little bit of a queue coming out because it was busy, do you know? Everything was questioned. So I just got to a point where I'd always take my till receipt. This was when I was questioned. And he'd always say, you told him something when you had. And he's like, you didn't tell me. I got to a point where I'm going to write it down and get him to sign it. And say, look, I've told you this, do you know, or you've got a doctor's appointment. That was always one. He'd never go to doctors. And I'd be like, look, I've told you, you've got a doctor's appointment. And he's like, no, I'm not. You never did. I'm not going. And he'd have this. It was like looking after a child. Worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, so we got to 2016. Sorry, I had to keep digressing.
That's fine. Yeah. So your daughter told the teachers.
Yeah, she told teachers. And also, as well, one of my amazing neighbours as well had also rang social care up and said, but we're worried, you know, about these, about what's going on.
Yeah.
And she's actually a survivor of domestic abuse and she spotted it. So she was an angel over a road, bless her.
So
she spotted it. So I'm always eternally very grateful to her. And so then, like, social care kept knocking, like, rocks up then. And then he's like, you are not answering this door. Do you know, he thought that if you ignored it, it'd go away.
Yeah.
And it done, or far from it.
Yeah.
And then they kept coming, and then he'd attack me. Because he's like, this is your fault, Emma, because you didn't cover those bruises up. And not good. And I'm a makeup artist. So I know how, and I do camouflage makeup, I know how to cover bruises. So that's what I had to do, was cover bruises constantly. And it got to the point where I hated makeup because I'd be constantly, like, going to get out. I remember one day it took me, a really bad incident happened with a chow mein. It didn't like, I know, this is a random stuff. He beat the hell out of me in front of his children because he didn't like the colour of the chow mein, which we got ordered from the Chinese down the road. Literally a couple of doors down. So beat me to hell. Then I was having to keep, you know, and then literally 2 hours later, I had to, like, when I made myself up and, you know, got rid of all the bruises and everything, to take the Charmaine. And then I was like, please, please, I need to, you know, get this, can I have my refund? Yeah. And the lady was like, okay. And she just gave me a thing because she thought, something's not right here. But yeah, anything. There's that many stories. It's ridiculous. It'd be like the Bible with how many stories there is.
Yeah.
But he'd rip my hair out, so I had no hair. I'd have bruises all over me, so I'd have to, like, cover it up. But, so social services would, like, come, and he's like, you're not... He just, like, you don't have anything to do with him. You don't talk to him. He would not let me speak to him at all. Never, ever. They tried to go to school. They'd interview my daughter. Do you know, they were getting all this background. And then as soon as they'd turn up, do unannounced visits, he'd be beating me up, and they'd hear him. And they got to the point where, what the hell do we do here? Because every time, we're making this worse every time we're coming. And they end up seeing me going upstairs. I was upstairs, they could see.
Could they call the police?
Oh, yeah, police call. Police to come. Yeah, police came a few times. Yeah. And then I had one police officer who really, really pissed me off. He ended up coming. I've had no problems. The people who worked on my case was fantastic, outstanding. There's one copper turn up. So he's there in all cop stuff. And he goes, oh, it's just a normal relationship. I'm like that with my girlfriend. Oh, it's like, it's just having an argument. And I was like, okay, so this must be normal. So I'm getting this from a police officer, a patrol one, you know, who's saying that this is normal behaviour. And I'm like, I did actually pull that up, actually. I says, yeah. So I thought that this were normal because you've even got a police officer who's reinstating that this is normal behaviour. Yeah. So, I remember one time he ripped my ear. I had to glue, he grabbed me by my ear. He'd ripped that, glued it. He ripped and he's panicking. He's like, your ears fell off, your ears fell off. And I was like, so what do? Your ears come off.
And it's your fault.
I glued it back on he helped me because he's such a gentleman. He helped me.
That's nice.
He's a lovely lad, isn't he? But yeah, so I had like semi-permanent eyelash glue. So I had for lashes. Yeah. So I glued that on. That was just before, that was December. So I had all this like black glue and I was trying to cover up my hair because it was glued. I couldn't colour my hair for months and months and months, for like a year, because I'd have so many cuts on the back of my head, so you couldn't cause a hair dye. Also, I didn't want me to dye my hair as well. I dye my hair a lot, but I didn't want it because...
Could you wear makeup, apart from the makeup to cover up
I'd have
bruises?
To wear makeup to cover, do you know, if I were going out, it'd be like, what, do you know, there was nothing to cover up, it'd be like... Why are you going out? Why are you wearing makeup? You know, who are you trying to impress?
Yeah.
But then when there was bruising on my face, black eyes, everything, then I'd have to wear makeup heavily to cover that up. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of makeup, but not enough to cover some of the stuff, especially on the final one. It's like... So that ended up happening. They constantly come. Then there was... I mean... I didn't know that, but I found that he's really violent. He was really sexually violent. I mean, he did all sorts of horrible stuff. I mean, it was like, we had a cellar and he ended up, I remember it was horrible. I was in the cellar and it just went, oh, just nip down to the cellar. So then I was just like, okay, just to grab some art, like a tool or some art.
Yeah.
Went down and he was in the cellar and he grabbed this pillow and he put it over my head, you know, a pillowcase and that, and just like hit me up against the wall. God knows I didn't die because there was a nail right close to me there. And that, and then like it attacked me in the cellar and raped me in the cellar. And it was really stuff like that. And then he was very violent in that, like you'd be asleep and then he'd just like, and all sorts of different stuff. And then it was like, the rolling pin that he was using to kill me with, down there, about that line, he raped me with a rolling pin. I went for a smear a few months ago, and a general smear, you know, test, and they actually found all scarring. And because I'm so open to it, they were just like, do you know you've got scarring? I was like, can you date it? Is it from this date? Is it from 2000 between that and end date of 2017? And be like, what? And I was just like, because it would have been my ex-husband. He was very violent, you know. And I found that he was very violent with that, you know, really. So
did that start at the same time that the abuse started?
Really bad, yeah. It was very, very instinct, very violent.
Would he only be violent when you were having sex? Would you ever have normal sex or was it always violent?
It was all violent.
When he got violent, it was all violent. It
was horrible. Yeah, it was bloody awful, to be honest with you. I have to think of my happy place, and my happy place was Blackpool Pleasure Beach. So when I was getting, when there was something like that really bad happening, I used to have to think of Blackpool Pleasure Beach when I was a kid, in all the different rides when I was a kid. So I'd be walking along the Blackpool Pleasure Beach. So that was my happy place because I worked out how to do it. So that's what I do, Blackpool Pleasure Beach. So I was thinking back there, it's not there anymore. There was Go Past the Revolution, Going Past the Greatest Show on Earth, back in the 90s. And I that's what I did, And, but at the time, I had, like, a broken leg. I didn't know I had a broken leg. And I was walking, and I could never get, you know, any help because I never went to a hospital. So I just used to have ibuprofen gel. And just put that on and hot water bottles I had broken ribs at the time, broken spine. I didn't know, do you know, at all. I didn't have a clue, so I wasn't allowed to go to the hospital. I had a cut on my face because he punched me so hard in my face. I've still got a scar on it now. It's open. And I had to glue my face back together with nail glue. And that doesn't work because it, like, when you fill it in, it just goes white and it, like expands. So, do you know, like, the the cut, like, expands. So now I've still got, like, a big scar on my face. I don't know if you can see it too well, but...
I can't see. Have you got makeup on? Do you wear makeup every day now?
Yeah, I wear makeup every day. To cover it. You can really see it, do you know. Especially, like, if you're smiling in pictures. So I just automatically have this side as much. I mean, I find as well when you put weight on as well, it fattens it up, so you've got that bit of a, you know, so you put on, you know, so it's not as bad. But when I left, I was like 7.5 stone when I actually I looked like a zombie. I was awful. But yeah, when I just wasn't allowed to eat, because I couldn't eat because I was so stressed out, and I just wouldn't eat as well. I remember as well being thrown out in the garden. I had to sleep in the garden. There's that much stuff, honestly. This is, like, it's like, because when I normally do all this different stuff, it's normally about the assaults and the main event. It sounds awful, doesn't it? It sounds like boxing. Yeah. The main event.
Fucking hell.
Sounds like art. Yeah. It sounds like wrestling, doesn't it? But yeah, so there's lots of other stuff. So this is why, you know, you forget about all the different things. Yeah, I had to sleep outside in rain and, you know, all night and different stuff. When it got to the final assault, we got a letter through for court because he couldn't get to see us, he wouldn't let him see. What delayed it as well, he broke his own arm in the window.
On purpose or on
accident? Well, what happened was he'd just beaten me up that day. In the morning. Mornings were particularly bad. It just went on one. He went out, it was in bedroom, he just assaulted me in bedroom, hit me and what have you. And then he started, he jumped up onto window ledge and that open window, started shouting out the window because somebody's car were parked, you know, a bit close to ours or what have you. He fell, his arm got wedged and then it broke. And then, it's your fault that my arm is broken. And I was like, I was just there thinking, oh, for God's sake, I've got to take him to hospital now. He snapped his bone in his arm.
Ooh.
Yeah, he snapped it, but...
Oh, so he was all right to go to hospital?
Oh, yeah, it's fine to go to hospital then. And so he had this, like, metal plate in his eye. He had to have an operation. So he had a metal plate in his arm. And I thought, oh, that's going to be better because he's not going to be able to hit me. No, he's kicked me instead. And then also, he got... Because he used to kick me instead. So that's what he'd do because he's got full force of his leg. He kicked me instead. So I thought, I'll be safe here because he's got a broken arm. But then also because he's got a metal plate in his arm as well. It's strong too. So it's kind of like real cop thing going off. Yeah, so that happened. And then he just literally got out of this operation.
Yeah.
And he got discharged and his arm coming home and that. And then we ended up in court. One of the really probably weird things, what I just remembered, was because when I talk about it, that's because normally I switch it off, but then when you go into this, loads of stuff comes out. So it's when you're sort of like the whole psychological side of it. I remember going upstairs. I mean, I foretold what was going to happen. I remember a week before it happened, I said, you're going to go in prison. You're going to go to prison away, but this is carrying off. And he's like, no, and he's like, I am. And he says, because I'm a monster, he would call himself a monster. And I remember one thing, I went upstairs to the bathroom, come downstairs, and he'd shaved all his beard off. Because I found that he used to, when he was more eviler, he'd have a beard. And he shaved it all off. Literally came down, and I was like, oh my God, you've just shaved your whole beard off, Joe. And he just went, he says, because you like it, don't you? And I says, because And he went, he says, because I look like when we first met, not the bastard that I am now. And I thought, you're right there. And, so that happened. But, sorry for keep digressing, but yes,
that's fine.
Yeah, so there's all sorts that's just happened. But yeah, so when it got to
So you got the court date.
Yeah, I got the court date. So we was in court.
Yeah, did you go?
Yeah, we both was in court, at family court and what have you. And literally the judge said, at that time I was in court, I had blood all the back of my head. Do you know, all the back bit had all been pulled out. My hair was probably this length at the time. There was all cuts. And I'm in court thinking, my God, my head's going to be bleeding.
Yeah.
And I was trying to have, I always wore clothes to cover my bruises. So that's always something to ever look for. If it's hot weather and stuff and people was wearing like long cardigans and stuff, what they're covering. That's what I always say to people. So that happened. We ended up, went to court. He got told that he had to leave the house. I could stay at the house with the children. This was literally to a point where the children were going to get removed because they was worried about exposure, you know, to violence, which I get that.
Yeah.
Only thing is, so what ended up happening was they said, right, he needs to go. He said he was going to be at his brother's and I was like, okay. And then you need to go. So I thought, thank God he's out of the house. And he went to me, goes, I ain't going anywhere. And I thought, oh, shit. And he pretended that he was... so what he'd do is he'd pretended that he'd go, you know, he'd be at the house. And then when somebody turned up, he'd run out the back and lock the door. And that happened for a week. He had to see the children at a contact centre. I know that it was on the Wednesday, there was one occasion where I told him that he had to go because there's a car outside and I think it's social services watching. No, it wasn't. What I'd actually done was, there was no one out there. I just wanted a break from him.
Yeah.
So I made him wait in part for 2 hours. And he was there was nobody there at all. And so that's what happened. I just wanted a break. I was fed up. I just wanted a break. And I told him that there was like, there's a car and it looks like social services, there's two people in it. No, it wasn't. I just wanted a break. And it got to the Friday. So this was a Friday, the 22nd of December 2017. And he had to see the children in the contact centre. He told the children, you know, he prepped the children, said that don't say that daddy's been here, do you know?
Yeah.
All that. So they were scared, didn't say anything. And then what ended up happening was he was at the contact centre, I had to pretend that we hadn't seen each other. And he come back, and that was when, for him, I think it was the fact that he had to see his children in contact centre. He lost it. He ended up, we was in the kitchen again. Like I say, a lot of stuff happened in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And he took out the rolling pin from the drawer and started, well, he was punching me, hitting me. Many times this happened constantly. You got to a point where you knew which part of the kitchen not to be in, what bit to be in. I used to want to make sure that my washing machine door was shut because I didn't want him breaking my washing machine because he could throw me into it. Stuff got damaged all the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of got to the point where I knew where to go, you know, so I didn't, where was a softer place to land. It sounds really bad, but it's true. So that happened.
Did he have like a pattern with it as well? Like, did he start somewhere?
You'd know, like, when it
would
was.
Would you kind of know what, so you kind of brace yourself a bit against?
Yeah, I remember he really beat me in the bathroom. That was another one. Because he was wanted to have a bath together as well. And then because I didn't open the window quick enough because it was getting warm, he lost it and beat me up in the bathroom. There was blood everywhere, all in the bathroom, just head would pour in. And the whole bathroom was just covered in blood. That was one. There's that many moments, there really is. That's it, there's just so much. Yeah, so we got to the bit where he assaulted me. That happened for like 2 hours on the final thingy. And then he went, it was only when he was done that he went and said, I'm tired. Do you know, you can go to bed now. We'll finish this off in the morning. And I was like, oh. So then I had to like stumble over to my makeshift bed, completely, you know, bruised to hell. And so I went over there, lay down, and then it got to 9 o'clock in the morning. And he ended up, he went into the kitchen, and he ended up, he went, get in here now. You know, and I was like, got up thinking, oh shit, I know what's going to happen here. Went in and then he continued to beat me again. So this was the 23rd of December 2017. Stamp on me, everything. It was horrible. And then I literally felt ill. I just felt like I had a complete utter enough.
Yeah.
My daughter had come in and she said, she was like five at the time. Is mummy okay? And he says, yeah, mummy and daddy's, yeah, mummy's okay. Do you know, shut the door, go upstairs, and that. She ran upstairs. So I was on the floor, do you know, being stamped on constantly. That happened like for another 2 hours. And he just went, go upstairs and get yourself ready, sort yourself out. So I was just like, so I went upstairs. I was really thirsty. I felt really thirsty, really dehydrated. Felt yeah. really like not with it. Never felt like that before. I looked complete as a mess. And he ended up. I asked for a cup of tea. I asked, and then he said no. And I was like, right. So I remember drinking some lemonade, which had gone flat. Because I just needed yeah. something. So, do you know, it's really horrible when it's gone flat. I was just drinking
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
trying to. And I looked in the mirror and I looked and I thought, how the hell am I going to clear this up? I've got, at that time, I had 95% bruising over my body.
95%?
Yeah. And I'm like, how the hell am I going to cover this? I'm running out of makeup now. Do you know, yeah. how can I do this? I know that I'm good at makeup, but not that good, do you know, because I. So then I was just like, oh, for God's sake. And so I ended up trying to start there. And then he ended up, the final assault, he'd just been into my handbag. And I used to hide cigarettes in my handbag. And he found my cigs. And he's like, what are you doing smoking and stuff? And I was like, well, it's hard to you to trolley yourself off on weed all the time. But apparently for me yeah. to have a quick fag because I'm absolutely, you know, thingage, you know, because yeah. of stress and what have you. So he assaulted me again in the bedroom. Joe proper threw me into bed and everything. And at that point, I was just like, I can't even cope. Everything was slow motion. Everything was like really slow. Everything, even just like picking something up was hard to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I was just like, okay. It was awful. And then there was a knock at the door. And this was the last time I saw him. He at that time, I was trying to get out. I would just thought, yeah. in my head, I was like, I've had enough here. I just want yeah, something, yeah. you know. And I could feel, and this is where I was dying. It was my body actually packing up organs because I had the high, you know, because I've been so poorly because of the yeah. The bruising. It brings out a yeah. toxin in your body because your organs are trying to reanimate themselves, trying to repair themselves. Yeah. And it was that, it was the organs that was doing that. And I just yeah. felt so ill from it. And yeah. it was horrible. And I ended up thinking, I've had enough here. I just want to, you know, I want to die. You know, I ended up thinking, it's not nice, but thinking, I need to commit suicide. That's the only way I'm going to get yeah. out of this. Yeah. Is yeah. that's it. Which yeah. way? I'm going to try and take the car and just drive it into a wall. So yeah. don't hurt anybody. Yeah. That is what yeah. I honestly were thinking. And yeah. then the weirdest thing happened. Something switched in my head. It just went. And it was like that person was switched off and this other person rocked up who I am now. And I thought, sod this, I'm getting out of here. It was weird, yeah. most weirdest thing. And it was like completely changed. So I thought, right, I'm going to try and get out of the house. I'm going to sort of get out of this. I've had enough. This is ending. So it was really, it was almost like a click of a switch. I don't even know what happened, but it was very odd. And so then what I was trying to listen to where he was in my house. So I knew he was downstairs. Yeah. And I thought, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and climb out the window and, try and climb out the window, go to a neighbour or run and get help. That's what I'm going to try and do. I looked out the window. So I was in the top window, the top bedroom. So it's like a big, big drop. Looked. Yeah. I could hardly walk because my feet was really damaged because he'd like stood on my feet. It was down to my bone. On my feet because I used to keep my heavy boots on because it to protect my feet because he'd try and stop it so you could walk. It'd hit your feet and punch your feet and stand on you and kick your feet so you couldn't walk to stop your mobility. So I learned to keep my shoes on. So where you'd have your slippers or you just have your socks on, I'd have those on, protect my feet. And I always used to wear a certain boot because it was a bit more, sturdy. So I was going to try and drop down, but then I looked. I was going to try and pass a note to a neighbour, no one was in. So looked, I'm going to try and drop down, risk assess that. That's not going to happen. Also, the window was open, the blinds, so we would see me dropping down. So I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then I ended up, what did I end up doing then? Went to the front bedroom and I was going to write on a piece of paper, SOS, call the police, in bright red lipstick and put it up at the window. And it's a terrace street, there's people opposite. I was hoping that somebody would see it, so I was going to put it up at the window to call the police. And nobody was there. No one was in. It was a Saturday and everyone was out and thought, this has failed. I never had a mobile phone. So everyone sort of think, well, just ring somebody up. He had a mobile phone. I was never allowed, so I could either. So that's the thing. I know that there's lots of stuff where people can ring 999. You know, there's different apps and everything. I never had. I couldn't. Yeah, I got given a mobile phone by social services, but he took it and hid it, so I couldn't use it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know where it was. He had the phone, smartphone, all the time, so I couldn't do it. Do you know, he always had it on him. So I didn't have views for phone. I wasn't on Facebook. Yeah. I had no way, no contact at all.
Yeah.
There was a landline and I was going to say to one of the children, go get the landline phone and bring it to mummy. And then I was going to ring the police. Yeah. But I didn't want the children getting caught because they'll get it.
Yeah.
So, because he'd already just assaulted my eldest son. He'd hit him and threw him into the fireplace. The fireplace wasn't on. Just into, you know, it wasn't a... It was like an open fireplace.
Yeah.
So I thought, I can't, you know, I need to let the kids, I need to protect the kids. This was all about protecting the children.
Yeah.
And then there was a knock at the door. And I was like, so he came down. So we thought social services came down. The knock came. I remember now his breath as I was running, going down the stairs and he was like running behind me.
Yeah.
So he went out the house. I locked the back door. And then I thought, right, that's it. Locked the back door. And then what I've done is I came to the front door, opened the door, and there was police out who was there. They came in. I just let them in. I went back to the back door, made sure that it was locked so he couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Came back into the dining room. And then I said, at that time I had a cardigan on, a t-shirt, what have you, and I said to the children, can you please go upstairs and can you play on Xbox? So they was like, okay. So I went to Xbox and then I just started taking my clothes off, which was a bit random, and this was the first time I ever admitted it, and I just goes, I think I'm a victim of domestic violence. And they went, oh my God, you know, I've never seen anyone. They said, where is he? And I goes, he's just gone out, you know, like, we need to find him. Like, what does he look like?
Yeah.
And he said, I said, well, do you want his passport? So then that was it. I was on this whole thing of where I was trying to protect him and, you know, try and make an excuse. I went the complete opposite way. So I threw him under the bus. I thought, I've had enough of this. This is about survival, this. Threw him under the bus. And I goes, right, do you want his passport here? Do you want a driver's licence? And like, so then they knew exactly what to look for, where to look for him. They found him. There was this big manhunt. They said, right, we need to get you to hospital or we need to get you out. So they got us out of the house. There were two police officers. And they said they couldn't believe it. It says in their, like, I think it was like 15, 16-year career or whatever, you've never seen anybody look like this. So they said, I can't believe you're not dead. So they got us to, so we ended up at a place called the Mary Woollett Centre, which is like where social care and police are. So they've got like this like room, like this whole building. So the children was there, I was there. I had to ring my mum, the police rang my parents up. They said, do you want anyone to call us? I said, I want you to call my parents. They rang my parents up and said, we've got your daughter here. We need to talk to you, do you know about your daughter? So my mum had just lost her other sister, my sister, her daughter. Yeah. Then gets a phone call. This was the day before her birthday. So this is like day before Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And they said, your daughter has... she thought she'd been... She just presumed I'd been in a car accident.
Yeah.
And they went, no, her husband's assaulted her. Do you know, she's in a really bad way. He's been getting arrested. So she's like, what? And then they had a police officer come here. Do you know, in case he turned up here. He was on the run. So what ended up happening then? He ended up... he ended up going on the run. The kids were going to go into foster care until I found him. So the kids would literally have seen my mum nearly get murdered by the dad. And then they was going to have to go into foster care. They was actually going to go to Derbyshire. So go to like a foster
family. How far is that from where you
I'm from Doncaster, South Yorkshire. So about a good hour's drive.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really far away.
Completely different county, yeah. And I don't even know where Derbyshire is, because Derbyshire like covers a big area. So I just knew that. And then literally I was in there, and then I got it came over the radio that he'd been captured, that he'd been arrested. So then when he'd been arrested, they said, right, they can have him in custody. Do you know, they can go to my parents. So the kids were then allowed to go to my mum and dad. So a police officer took him there. Took the kids to my parents. Then I went to hospital. So I spent 5 days in hospital over Christmas. Then the police officer who was working with, who was looking after my children, he went and charged him, you know, at the prison, you know, at the station, because he had enough evidence to charge him.
Yeah.
So they charged him, and he went, yeah, but it's Christmas. This is what my ex said. It's Christmas. And he goes, and? He goes, you can't do a crime over Christmas and not get done for it. So, but I want to see my kids, it's Christmas. He thought that he could do a crime over Christmas, not get done for it. Well, do you think it is The Purge? Like the film The Purge where crime is legal for 12 hours. And like the copper was just like,
God.
Yeah. And that was like one of the first really weird things he did, which was really strange.
Hello. Yes, that's Jodie. I had to cut it somewhere because, I mean, the story does continue, but I wanted you at least to get to the point where you know that he got arrested, so you know that nothing else happened after that. The next episode will be about the trial and what's happened to Jodie since she's escaped her ex. So that's a bit... you know, it's a happy ending in some ways, but it's also, she also went through more stuff with all the financial rubbish that, I mean, it's so frustrating. Anyway, thank you for listening. Please share this episode, because I do think it's important for people to know what other people go through. And please subscribe to the podcast. But I hope you're good, wherever you are in the world. Stay safe and sane. Big love to you all.
Work.
And I'll see you next week for part two for Jodie's story. Take care. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.